This is State of Emergency.
What's up, everyone? It's Chicks in the Office with Rhea and Fran, giving you that Friday energy on a Friday. We've made it. We've made it to Friday, Fran. You know, the first podcast of this week, we talked about you getting COVID. You got sick, and we're still here. You still got it. How are you feeling? It's still happening.
You're still in the same spot you are on Monday.
Yeah, and we're trying to give you all the Friday energy that we can to you and to our listeners. But this podcast, it's a great one. Don't get me wrong. It's a great one. But it's going to be on the shorter side because Fran is long-winded and out of breath.
Rhea has labeled me with many symptoms today. Monday sucked because I really still did not feel good. I am definitely feeling better. I feel like I am on the other side. I forgot to say this on Wednesday, so I'll say it now. I did get a lot of very, very nice messages from you guys giving me some tips and fun things and, other people that have had it and ways that had helped them and whatnot. So that was very, very nice. Thank you very much for doing that. I am free on Sunday. It'll be my last day. So I'm almost there. Almost there.
You are almost chugging along. It's the weekend now. It's like a regular weekend for you. You made it through.
I do nothing on the weekend anyway. So
we always wondered, the three of us, how would we react when one of us got corona, right? It was like Noah and I were convinced we were gonna die. Fran never really put out any sort of feeling as to what was gonna happen to her.
Who hasn't gotten it now? Because I got it but didn't have any symptoms. I didn't even know I had it.
Right. I have not gotten it. Knock on wood. Well, Rhea, I feel like it's coming for me.
You have your vaccine appointment.
I did book my vaccine appointment.
I'm excited for you to go to the Javits Center. This is like when you got your endoscopy and I was like excited for you because it's such a
experience. Noah got his vaccine this week, so he's hyped.
Playing, and like all the people are really nice.
Yeah, mine's not.
I've seen some videos. It looks nice.
Yeah, mine's not until a little later in April, because
you'll make it.
We'll make it. But
I felt like the buffoon who got like it was like, wow, I got it really. Like the Cuomo announced that 16 and older in New York eligible on this Tuesday that's coming up, and I was like, 1 week. I literally just could have had to have made it 1 week. There was an article on The Onion, like the headline just like made me laugh. I gotta find it. It was just like, I was thinking about it. I was like, yep, this is so true.
I just have a feeling I'm gonna get it before my vaccine comes and I'm gonna feel like such an asshole.
I don't think so.
I've heard of people who got the vaccine but like didn't know that, like, and then they tested positive like a few days later because they had gotten it but didn't know.
Yeah. Well, I'm going to get a test before I go. Clear.
This headline for The Onion came out yesterday was CDC announces it's kind of embarrassing to get coronavirus this late in the pandemic.
It's so true. It's been over a year now and now you got
a spot on headline from The Onion. Yeah, it was like, wow, I made it this far, literally 1 week to all adults being able to get vaccinated in New York, and just snuck it in there.
Just snuck in. Well, that's why I'm convinced I'm going to get it soon, because I just feel like, why you and not me? You know, like, I just feel like, why you and not me?
You have survivor's guilt.
Yes, I do. Like, I have survivor's guilt. Yes. Well, knock on wood again. Man. I really don't want it. I've tried my best not to get it.
I really think you'll be okay.
Yeah, I think I'm going to be okay. Excited for that vax appointment. That's going to be exciting. And I think things are looking on the up, of course. You know, more people are getting vaccinated. Like you said, New York City, everyone's going to be eligible next week. So, things seem to be on the rise. I think this summer is going to be a great one. I really do. I think it's going to be a great one. So that's all exciting.
I hope so.
But right now we are recording on April Fool's Day. It's April 1st. And I forgot April Fool's Day existed because I was making a TikTok where I was complimenting people in the office just because I saw a video on TikTok of like somebody on the street complimenting people. And I was like, okay, I'm going to do that in the office because obviously everyone in the office is going to be like, why are you complimenting me?
Yeah.
But as soon as I started doing it, people are like, is this an April Fool's joke? And I was like, oh no.
Yeah.
Now everybody thinks I'm pulling April Fool's jokes. That's even worse. I forgot it was April Fool's Day. I didn't even know the date when I woke up this morning. I don't like April Fool's jokes. I think April Fool's Day is so lame now and overrated, except Frank the Tank. I appreciated his April Fool's joke. That was a great one that even I believed. So I feel like April Fool's has got to go. Yeah, you do
too. It's just so annoying because all day long you got to second guess if something's true, if it's not true. And for us, it's hard too because when it comes to celebrities, it's like we have to decipher, oh, is this real? Is this not real? Somebody always makes some kind of April Fool's joke that doesn't go over well. Like Tori Spelling posted that she's pregnant with her sixth child. I don't know if that's real. I don't know if it's a joke. If it's a joke, people are gonna be pissed because pregnancy April Fool's jokes are a no-go.
They can't do it anymore. They don't play. Remember when Bieber did it?
Yeah.
Remember when the Biebs did it?
It's a no-fly zone.
He was posting like ultrasounds and pregnancy. And it was like, of course Justin Bieber still thinks pregnancy April Fool's jokes are funny.
Yes. There's always one celebrity a year now who does it and doesn't realize that it's just like it's not funny anymore. It could be Tori Spelling, or she really could have decided to announce that she's pregnant on April Fool's Day, because that's the other hard thing. People make legit announcements, and it's like, well, is it a joke? Like, on Twitter today, Roy Williams, coach of North Carolina basketball, retired. When I first saw the tweet, I was like, ha ha, April Fool's, he's not retiring. No, he really did retire. He really did. He made the announcement today.
You just got to be better at planning.
Can't announce anything on April 1st.
Snoop Dogg is going to be the mega mentor on The Voice. And in the video announcing it, he literally is like, I know it's April 1st, but this is not a joke. I really am going to be the mega mentor on The Voice.
I remember last year, everyone was like, okay, April Fool's Day is canceled because the pandemic had just started. Yes. And everyone was like, we can't handle April Fool's jokes. Like, hey, I got Corona, April Fool's. Like, that's not going to fly. People aren't going to like that. So nobody did April Fool's jokes last year. And that was great. Forgetting that April Fool's existed last year was awesome. And I wish we could just go back to that period of time, because will it ever end? Is April Fool's ever going to end?
I know. And it sucks because it's just growing. I texted this to myself.
It's growing? You think it's growing?
I think it's growing. I texted myself this week. I said, if the Michael Strahan gap tooth thing is an April Fool's joke, I hate it so much. Because we live in a goddamn society. We can't have April Fool's Day jokes starting on March 29th. Uh-uh. No. Like, you can't start the joke days before April Fool's.
Yeah, that doesn't fly.
Put it out there. Be like, oh, I closed my gap. The whole world freaking out. Everybody's got to wait for days. He posted this whole long video today being like, just kidding. I didn't get rid of the gap. It's this 2-minute video for him finally at the end to reveal that he didn't get rid of the gap. And yes, everybody was on top of it being like, oh, look at the calendar. We're almost at April Fool's Day. Uh-uh. We can't have we're almost at April Fool's Day. April Fool's Day jokes can and only can happen on April 1st. We can't be having April Fool's Day jokes start days before. Well, like I said, this is a society. We can't function with every day around April Fool's thinking like, is that a joke though?
Right. We can't live our lives like that, because then it becomes April Fool's week, and then it becomes April Fool's month.
Exactly.
I could really see Jason Derulo having, did you see he like said he's like they're having a baby?
Yeah.
I could see that being a joke now, actually.
No, that
like,
would
I feel like a TikTok world.
That came out a few days ago, but this is what I'm saying.
Now we're throwing the confusion out there. Michael Strahan, seriously, that pisses me off. You got me riled up now. You're so right. It's April Fool's Day. It's not April Fool's get your jokes ready days before and play them out until April Fool's Day and then unleash them.
Yeah.
April Fool's Day, if you can't pull a solid joke off in one day, then you're not cut out for it. Sorry, you don't got the humor or the entertainment ability. Look, you got to be able to pull it off in one day. And if you can't do that, then you lose your privileges. You lose your privileges to make any April Fool's Day jokes. You should get suspended. If you start an April Fool's Day joke early, you get suspended.
Yeah, it can only happen on one day, like I said. And there are some exceptions, I will, like when the joke is really good. Because there's a lot of elementary April Fool's Day jokes that it's like, haha, okay, you got it.
Can you name one example?
Yes, I will, because I just saw a good one. So Michael, like the Michael Strahan gap tooth, that one I don't think is very original because it's like, gap tooth, that's his signature thing. Caitlin Bristowe pranked Jason in a way that was so ruthless that it makes it funnier. Like it was scarier where it was like, okay, she really got him. So she started it the night before. So last night, the night before April Fool's Day, she sent him a quote, a sexy photo, a nude photo solely for this setup. She then had she was on FaceTime with him today. She then had 20 to 25 people from all walks of earth like that know Jason, friends from home, producers from the show, friends that they had together, all text him like around the same time being like, holy shit, like, did you mean to post that on your story? Freaking out, thinking that, which made Jason think that he accidentally posted this nude photo of Caitlin on his Instagram story. And the video is hilarious because they're on FaceTime and he's like, I'm getting these texts. I gotta go, bye. And like hangs up on her and like hangs up. And she keeps calling him back and she keeps calling him back. And she's like trying not to laugh. And Jason's so pissed. Like, I've never seen Jason like this ever. He literally is yelling he's like, what? What did you, what is happening? Like, and all of a sudden, and then she's like, April Fools. And he like hung up on her and was like all pissy and then got back on and was laughing and was like, holy shit, I can't believe that was an April Fool's Day joke. So that required a setup, like the night before she sent the photo in order for the day. But like, I find that to be very creative and funny.
That was well thought out. I'll give it to her. I'll give it to her. I've never heard an April Fool's joke like that before, so I'll give it to her.
No, exactly. That's what I'm saying. I found that to be fairly creative. There's a lot of April Fool's jokes out there that are just like not creative.
Michael Strahan cheated. He cheated. That's what I'd call that. He cheated because
by starting days early, you starting make people days believe earlier. It's real.
Yes, right. That's cheating. That's April Fool's Day cheating.
That's like, didn't we talk about this recently? Where like, if you really want to fake sick and get away with it at school, you have to start the night before.
Yes, yes, Noah. Yes, you have to start.
You have to lay
that your stomach hurts the night before.
Gotta set the trap.
Yeah, I've even gone to the hospital. Like
fully faking it.
Like not faking it. That made it seem like I was faking it. I did end up with like a cyst, an ovarian cyst, but I didn't have to go to the hospital. You know, like I just really, like I didn't feel well, but I knew that if I just woke up the next day, my parents would be like,
"That's a different story." I've done that on a much lighter level.
That sounds like I was faking it. I did have something wrong.
No, that's what I'm saying. You had something wrong. I'm saying I've straight up done it where like I knew I had some kind of assignment due in the morning that I didn't finish, and I knew I wasn't going to finish it the night before. Like I'm like, you know, it's 9 o'clock. It's like, all right, I'm not realistically, I'm not going to finish this.
Yeah,
and that's when you plant like the, oh man, like it's just like I'm feeling super nauseous.
Yes.
And then when you wake up in the morning, you're like, oh, I told you last night I felt nauseous. I couldn't sleep all night. Like,
yeah, the best is when your parents recall that you said it, right? Like, you said it, and then the next morning you're like, oh, I don't feel good. And they're like, well, you said last night you weren't feeling well. And you're like, I did.
Yeah, I did say that.
I did say that.
I did say that. No, so anyway, look, it's very hard to pull off a good April Fool's Day joke these days. And it's very rare to find a good one because a lot of them are just hard to, a lot of them aren't funny. And I'm just very much against starting an April Fool's Day joke days before April 1. That just can't happen.
I agree with you. Sorry, I'm rolling out my neck right now. I don't know if you can see that.
Honestly, I see you and it looks very relaxing.
Can you
sometimes
crack your own neck?
No, it's
sometimes that's
one of my
so
biggest
bad for
downfalls.
You.
What? What'd you say?
I wish I could.
It's bad for you to
no,
crack
it's
your
not.
Neck.
I mean, if you do it badly.
Is it? No, because no. I crack
do it on your own.
I can crack Joe my hips and stuff, and my chiropractor said that was okay. Because I thought
if you crack your neck in the wrong way, you can get a stroke. But that's like, I think only chiropractors can even like get it that far. Like,
right.
No, I know, but you just have to be careful. Like, Joe's had back problems before where he's like totally tensed up and had to go to the chiropractor, and he cracks his neck, and the chiropractor was like, stop fucking cracking your neck.
Okay, interesting.
Yeah. But I also don't trust chiropractors. I don't think I would ever go to one.
Really? I go to one. It's great. Why don't you trust chiropractors?
Because they like, you don't even need to like go to school for that. Like,
What?
His is a he goes to a physical therapist. Okay, okay. It's not even okay.
You don't need to go to school
like,
to be.
You just kind of can just like become one, and like they like people get injured all the time.
Wait, really?
I hope we don't. Yeah. I hope we don't have any like chiropractor listeners out there.
Noah doesn't respect the chiropractor community. I respect my chiropractor greatly.
Noah
I want
destroyed
that out there.
Your profession.
She is lovely. She's a young woman, and we like we could be friends. She's awesome.
I like watching the videos because I like the sound. But then if you like look on TikTok, all those videos, there's always a ton of comments where people are like, this is totally dangerous.
You
like,
can't trust TikTok
comments.
No,
I'm not just basing it off that. I've done some research.
Okay. There is.
I'm sure there are great chiropractors out there.
There is a risk.
There is a risk.
But there is a greater reward. And I trust me on that. Going to the chiropractor is one of the most satisfying
feelings.
I
don't know.
If you have a bad neck and back.
I have a good friend who went to a chiropractor like midway through, like he felt like it really hurt and was like, oh, I don't know. And the guy's like, don't worry, it's normal. And then like went to a doctor and like they like tore one of his something.
And then he
sued them and got a ton of money.
Oh,
well, that's terrible.
Yeah. That sounds like a horror story. Okay.
I got to go to the chiropractor.
But no offense
I have so many things wrong with my back. How else would I fix it?
You can
just live in my life.
You
no, it's
not
about backing. It's like literally like my lower back. I got the X-ray. It's all just it's all just.
What if I stood on your back? Would it crack or?
No, people have tried to crack my back before. I've tried to crack my back. It won't crack unless I'm at a chiropractor. It's a downfall of mine.
It's just the way it is.
It's just the way it goes.
Yep, just the way it's going to be.
Yeah, I can do that, I think.
Yeah. Well, we don't need to start cracking things. I feel like that's
cracking
like
ASMR.
That. Yeah, no. No thanks. I there are times when like I'm okay with cracking my own fingers. I do it occasionally, but I don't like when other people do it.
Really?
When I'm around other people who are cracking, I don't. Do you guys like cracking your toes?
Yes. Love.
Yes.
Well, I don't love it. I just have to sometimes. Like, just curl them up and I...
Oh, I can't really do it.
Look, I really wish everybody could see the look that Noah... I can't even look at him in the eye after the look he just gave me after he cracked his shoulder. It was It was the most seductive look Noah has ever given.
Good news.
I know he didn't mean it like that, but he was like, that shit felt good.
Good news for everyone out there who wants a Noah cam. The new studio will have a Noah cam.
Yeah.
Confirmed.
It will have a Noah cam, which...
How's it looking in there, by the way? I obviously haven't been there all
week.
Oh, the
rug's got the rug down today.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. All right. Has the table come yet?
Not yet. We're waiting on a couple things.
Yeah.
Okay. Good stuff. Good stuff, guys.
Good stuff. Yeah, the listeners are really interested in all of this.
Good stuff. We do have a new studio coming, which we keep saying that,
everyone's like, we don't believe you. Because
I would
say
a couple of weeks, maybe three at the most.
Oh, well, let's put this, while we're talking about it, we can just say it right now. We are taking a mini break next week.
Spring break.
Yes, we are taking a mini break because Noah is quite overworked and needs to take
a
break.
Don't put it all on me.
It's not all on Noah. It's not all on Noah. But, you know, after The Bachelor ended and back-to-back and we've been doing a lot of work for that and whatever, we're going to take a mini break and we are not going to put out podcasts next Friday and then the following Monday.
But April 9th and April 12th.
Yeah, April 9th and April 12th, we will have no podcast. But then hopefully when we come back from that very mini break, the new studio will be done. And it will be like, well, we're back from break. Here's our new studio. So that's the goal.
Yeah.
And hopefully we achieve that goal.
Yes, I hope we stick to that timeline. The last thing that I want to mention before we talk about Jen Shah, because there's a lot to talk about with her, is another thing that I texted myself while watching BFFs this week, because you know how much I love watching BFFs.
Yes.
Noah Beck is such a little sweetie pie. I just want to give him a hug. Like I just, something about these boys, I don't know what it was, but like him and Josh, I nearly cried listening to Josh talk about how much he loves Nessa. Like,
Josh is a sweetheart,
too. I straight up thought I was going to shed a tear. Mm-hmm. Like, the way he talked about how much he loves her and loves having, like, needing her in his life and, like, just, I'm sitting in this basement alone. Nobody's with me, obviously. And I'm watching this, and I audibly was like, oh, it's just heart-wrenching. Heart-wrenching stuff. If, you know, there's been some TikTok drama, if you want to catch up on the latest BFFs. But I don't think I didn't know that much about Noah Beck. I didn't really know that he, like, played soccer and, like, did all the, like, I didn't realize that he is relatively new to the
TikTok fame. He blew up during, like, the pandemic.
Yeah, I thought, like, I don't know why I just thought, like, the boys, like, the Sway House boys, in my mind, it was like they were all born into the Sway House. You know? Like,
yeah, they've been
living
this life.
I'm like, these guys don't have, they don't have backstories. hearing that was cool, but he's, like, what a little, just sweetie pie. That's all I gotta say.
Yeah,
I've
heard good things about Noah Beck. I've heard he's really just a nice guy. Josh seems like a really nice guy, talking about how much he loves Nessa. Yeah, like, if you're all into all that TikTok drama, listen to BFFs, because it's highly entertaining, very interesting, and they got all the tea. Like, they got all the gossip. Josh is sitting right in front of their faces, and the gossip's about him. So that's perfect.
Exactly.
Let's get into today's show. I was going to say let's get into the topics, but we only we only have one big topic on today's podcast. We're talking about Jen Shah from Salt Lake City. She is arrested. She took a page out of Teresa Giudice's book and thought, hey, you know, she's a real housewife. I'm a real housewife. I'm going to go along that path. And then we also have a great interview with Camille Kostick, who is always delight, our favorite. She's been on the podcast many times before. You people love her as well. So let's get into it. And we're going to start off and end with Jen Shah. Before we get into the Jen Shah conversation, which is going to be very spicy and interesting, let's get serious for a second. I know that we've talked about mental health on this podcast before. You know, we've all struggled, you know, even in this year has been even more tough on some people than in past years, obviously, with COVID and everything else going on. Mental health has taken a toll, and it's important to make sure you have your mental health in check. I know that, like I said, we've talked about this plenty of times in the past year. You know, I was struggling, Fran was struggling a little bit, and we've gotten through it, and you guys can get through it too, or at least get a little help if you are struggling with BetterHelp. BetterHelp allows you to video chat, have a live chat session. So it could be over the phone, it could be over video, it could just be over messaging, and you don't even have to have your camera on if you don't even feel comfortable. And you can begin communicating with a therapist within under 48 hours. It is very hard sometimes to find a therapist. They're expensive, but this is an easier, cheaper way to find a therapist, because a lot of people struggle with that as well, which is unfortunate. You know, you want to take care of your mental health, but then people are stopped by these humps they gotta go through to get through and find themselves the right therapist. But BetterHelp helps you with that. And we have a little promo for our listeners. If you are interested, you can go to betterhelp.com/office. You can get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp.com/office. And you'll get 10% off your first month. You know, like I said, if you've been trying to figure out how you're going to get this going, you've been struggling for a little bit now, you don't know where to start, maybe start with BetterHelp. Go to betterhelp.com/office. The promo is there for you. 10% off your first month. Let's see how it goes. Jen Shah from Real Housewives of Salt Lake City has been arrested for fraud in a nationwide telemarketing scam, as well as her assistant, Stuart Smith.
Stewart. This was shocking. It sent shockwaves through the Bravo world. Everybody was freaking out about it. We have had, like, Jen, only one from that show who's been on our show, Salt Lake City. She's been a guest. We can say we knew her when.
My immediate thought was like, wow, we were talking to her, and in her mind, she's running a fucking scam. Like, she's playing us while she's playing other people. And we got scammed. Yeah. We may have not lost money, but we got scammed big time.
It really blows my mind that there are people out there, and I'm assuming she's been doing this for a long time, right?
Oh, like, she's got to be.
That you could be dwelling in this illegal activity and then sign yourself up to be on reality television. I don't understand the thought process there, where it's like, you know what? I'm making all this money because I'm scamming the shit out of people. Let me now go on reality television where I'm exposing myself to the world, because so many people watch the show and were like, how the hell does she have all the stuff that she has? Like, where is her money coming from? Why does she have 10 assistants?
I'm sorry.
And now we know.
I'm sorry. There is literally something wrong in the brains of people who do that, right? Because because
you just really have to truly think you're going to get away with
it. A normal person would be like, oh shit, I shouldn't put myself out there any further, because what if someone catches on? But there's no remorse, there's no awareness, there's no anxiety when you put yourself on a reality TV show when you are doing something like this. Like, there's got to be something wrong in your brain for you not to put two and two together and say, oh, or first of all, to do the scam in the first place.
Yeah.
You shouldn't be doing that. But then to do the scam and then put yourself out there even more is just not smart at all. Like, I think Teresa and Joe got themselves in trouble mid-show. Like, I think they, or maybe it was, they probably were dabbling before the show.
Joe definitely laid the groundwork on some illegal activity before they went on the show.
Right. The whole fam was dabbling before the show.
Yeah.
But I feel like it probably picked up more in the show, and then, you know, that's how that went down. But with this show has only been on one season. There's no way she just started picking up scamming as a side activity in the middle of Real Housewives of Salt Lake City. Like, that's just not how it goes. And she once said that her assistant Stewart would do anything for her.
Yeah.
Anything?
Yeah.
Anything? No,
and we've definitely seen Teresa allude to the show blowing up, like, their business problems more, like, kind of like, you know, there was reunions and things where it felt like she insinuated that someone on, like, perhaps the Manzo side, like, literally called the FBI to, like, report them for this stuff. And, like, that's how it all happened. Like, there's been times where you're like, it seems like she really thought that. So obviously putting yourself on reality TV opens you up to all of this. And everybody's asking these questions, and who knows how long the Justice Department has been putting together this case against her. But this week she was arrested. The Justice Department in a statement announced charges of conspiracy to commit wire fraud and money laundering, alleged that Shaw and her first assistant, Stuart Smith, conspired to defraud older and computer illiterate people by operating multi-state telemarketing and in-person sales teams that would sell essentially non-existent services and fight consumer efforts to obtain refunds. So not only is she scamming people, she's scamming old people. Like, she's scamming people who are confused and don't know what they're signing up for.
Well, that's the thing.
And apparently this started in 2012. The alleged scam began in 2012.
Shit.
You've been doing this for so long.
She's been in the game for so long now. Maybe that's why she thought she'd never get caught. She probably got herself caught by being on Real Housewives of Salt Lake City. Like, if this has been going on since 2012, that's a long-ass time. That it's really no coincidence, in my opinion, that within the same year of her getting on a reality show is the same year she gets caught.
Yeah.
Like, she fucked herself. And when you said, you know, she's targeting people who are confused and old and they don't know what they're doing, like, that's how scammers get away with shit, though. They target.
Totally.
They target those people because they know that they're going to scam them successfully because they don't know what they're doing.
Yeah. Yeah. No, that is correct. That is definitely how they've been doing this for so long. And yes, the question everybody wanted to know was, are they filming season two right now? And they are. The cameras caught this go down.
Thank God.
This is going to be unbelievable. Like, we saw her leave. We saw clips of her leave court. Now, there's also a lot of, there's a whole situation with, like, the Zoom arraignment because, like, hundreds of people were on the Zoom, and then she wasn't able to get on the Zoom, and people were not, like, it was just a shit show. Like, people weren't on mute. Like, the judge was trying to get people to go on mute. And I think the arraignment got moved to Friday, actually, because they weren't able to do it on this Zoom that had all these people. But this is allegedly how it went down. The cast was filming. They were getting ready for a cast trip, I think. They were going somewhere. And she got a call. She then told producers that she needed to leave because her husband was in the hospital, saying that she needed to, like, leave immediately. And she left. And then, like, 5 minutes later, the FBI shows up to where they all were asking for her, trying to find her. And she had left. And apparently cameras caught, like, the cops talking to the other housewives and them showing up. It's pretty crazy. I was trying to find the whole screenshot. I forget the whole thing, but it was just, there was one full clip. I forget where. I'm not going to be able to find it right now. But it just does seem like this blew up completely on the show too, and that there were cameras at the courthouse when Jen was leaving. Obviously, they weren't inside, but they were filming outside. This is like the messages coming through, like, all of a sudden Jen had to leave filming quickly because of an emergency with her husband, and the feds showed up. It's like the fact that they were filming is unbelievable.
It's chef's kiss. It's perfect. This makes for a must watch second season, which I think we were all going to watch anyway. The first one was great. I think everyone was planning on watching the second one, so it's great they were filming this. I hate when something like this happens with reality show people and then they're not filming, like when everything went down with, like, Brody Jenner and Miley Cyrus and Caitlyn. It was like, oh my God, how is this going to be on the second season? And now it's been so long since that happened, and so long until the second season is out, that, like, that's not going to be in it probably. I mean, we'll see some stuff, but, like, we're not going to get it right when it's happening. So the fact that they are filming right when this is happening is fucking awesome. I can't wait to watch it all unfold.
I know.
And, you know, Jen was not well received in the last season. She wasn't.
No.
So I feel like she's not going to be well received this season. And then maybe her time will be done, because, I mean, who knows? You know, like, Teresa's still on Real Housewives of New Jersey. So it's not like they're against people who commit fraud. You know, they're not like, oh, Jen Shah is morally corrupt. However, we have to get her off the,
like,
show.
This is like Jen's business. Like, I feel like this is Jen run. Like, Jen runs these businesses, I think. And to, I don't know, Teresa, there was more of, like, a playing dumb.
Yeah, like, oh, it's more on Joe's.
Joe was doing it. Like, I was signing things that I didn't know. It was just my husband asking me to, like, do this stuff, and not as much, like, not as hands-on involved. When it kind of feels like Jen was pretty hands-on involved with all of this, because, and on top of that, like, Coach Shah. Poor Coach Shah. I mean, I don't know how much Coach Shah knew of what was going, right? Like, did Coach Shah know that this was going down? Did he know that this was how she was making her money? Did Jen hide this from him also? Like, is this going to affect his coaching career? Like, is he going to get fired because he's associated with all this madness now? There's just so many questions. So many questions. And a lot of my questions revolve around Coach Shah. And I hope there's a live camera on Mary when Mary found out about
this. Oh, yeah. This is going to be so juicy. Like, this is one of those stories that I feel like because she downright fucked up, and that's very apparent, and she screwed a lot of people over, you are allowed to be excited for what's to come on the season, right? Like, I feel like when something bad happens to a reality star and it's more serious and there's like more things involved, and you kind of, you have to be careful with saying you're excited, right? You're like, you don't want to seem too eager about watching something like that. But something like this, you're like, oh, this is juicy. We need it on our screens immediately, because it's not your classic, I mean, like we said, we saw it with Teresa and Joe, but it's not your classic Real Housewives storyline. You get the women fighting over he said, she said, and other little drama. This is a big deal.
It creates real life
shit. Yeah, this is a real life problem. It's a big deal.
Yeah, yeah. No, there are moments I think that a lot of people talk about when it comes to like off-camera Real Housewives situations. Like, I've been binging Real Housewives in New York. I'm on season 10. I just watched Luann in her Palm Beach arrest. So it's like there's these moments that happen that are so crazy and so talked about, and then you do watch it play out on the show. There's not a lot of other reality shows that give that to us. Mm-hmm. You know, there are rumors that Erica Jane is going to talk about her divorce on this next season of Beverly Hills. So there's just been a lot of shit happening, a lot of legal shit. I got to say, they've been, and you know, I wouldn't be surprised if, I don't know what Mary's, like, something about Mary's money too confuses me. Well, she's got a lot of nice things. And I another time that I'm just very confused with how, all of those nice things came to be. But Bravo has been on top of their game, I will say. Like, this season of New Jersey has been amazing. Summer House has been amazing. Like, they're churning out some top-notch content.
They really are. I'm all in, obviously. We have been, but I'm all in on Bravo. And I fucking love Andy Cohen. I really do. Like, after Summer House, I always find myself, I'm excited Summer House is on tonight. I just remember I have something to watch tonight. I always tune in to watch what happens live after Summer House, because I'm already watching Summer House, so it goes right into that. And he is just so good. Like, he I always aspire to be more like Andy Cohen in terms of like interviewing people or like doing our show or whatever entertainment purposes, because I'm like, he gets the people going. He knows how to get them to say crazy shit. And granted, he gets them to say crazy shit because he's Andy Cohen. You got to make that name for yourself. But I love it.
You know, Andy was just freaking
smitten.
Out over this. Too.
Probably smitten.
Freaking out over this.
Smiling
over this
from
news.
Ear to ear.
It's just
saying to his son, shocking. "We did it, kid. We did it again.
We've created another mega moment in the Housewives world. This will go down. You know, people didn't know how Salt Lake City was going to go. I think everybody really did like the first season. They were into it." But, you know, you're trying to avoid that second season slump. You want people to stay interested. Well, here you go. This is
quite
a way to lock people in.
Throw fraud into the mix. We're watching.
Oh, yeah. Great interview with Camille Kosick, and Camille is always on the go. This chick is always working, hustling. She has got it down. But you know what? Even just hearing about her life, sometimes it's like, damn, I need a moment to relax. I need a moment to chill. And in those times, you gotta reach for an ice cold Coors Light, just the beer that is literally made to chill. You guys know we love Coors Light. It's the official beer of Chicks in the Office. And right now, things are starting to pick back up. We're on the go. We're working. We're out. We're doing things, you know, and sometimes all those pressures and things that are getting us down, like, we just want some me time. We want some time to relax, time to unwind. I know that especially after we're done recording this podcast, we're talking for a long time. Rhea and I, we just want an ice cold sip of Coors Light. It's so refreshing. It's a great way to just hit reset, open that Coors Light. It's cold lagered, cold filtered, cold packaged. It's literally made to chill. It's as crisp as the Colorado Rockies. And it's just a great way to take that time and relax. So if you ever feel like you're always on the go, you're just juggling a million things at once, and all you want to do is chill, Coors Light is literally made for those moments. Because everyone likes variety, Coors has also introduced refreshing Coors Seltzer with flavors like black cherry, mango, lemon, lime. Delicious. Love the Coors Seltzers. The mango is probably my favorite. It is great. So get Coors Light and Coors Seltzer delivered straight to your door with Drizzly or Instacart, and keep tweeting at us. Keep tweeting at us and at Coors Light with a picture of your Coors Light or Coors Seltzer for a chance to win Chicks in the Office merch. And always remember to celebrate responsibly. This is coming from the Coors Brewing Company in Golden, Colorado and Fort Worth, Texas.
Cheers. Thank you guys.
Thank you guys so much.
The world's most refreshing podcast.
Yes.
All right, everyone. We are here with a very special guest, our dear friend, Camille Kostick, who has been on this program many times before. I always call her a dear friend, like we're best friends.
I was laughing at program on this program.
Well, I said dear friend, and then I was like, well, I must keep continuing to speak in the same tone. So then I went to program.
Yeah,
I like it. I am a dear friend. You're not just saying it. It's the truth.
Okay, good. That makes me feel better because I'm like, I'm saying dear friend. And then Camille in her head is probably like, okay, we're not that close.
I'm a dear friend. And I love returning on this program every time. Yeah. Laser for this program today.
Thank you for coming on. We're so excited to have you back. How's it going? How's life been?
It's been good. It's been busy, which I'm happy to say because, you know, things started to slow down during the pandemic, which I was really, really excited about, the beginning of the quarantine life. But I really took advantage of it, put my head down, started designing things. I've got a swimsuit line coming out. I got to audition for Wipeout, which came to fruition. I got the job. I shot the season and it airs tonight on TBS. Yes. So I'm really, really excited that myself, John Cena, Nicole Byer, we're all hosting the show that everyone's loved. It's been off the air for 7 years now and we're bringing it back. And I'm excited to get to tell the stories of the contestants and kind of hopefully bring joy to people's houses.
I didn't realize, I guess, like, I just was so used to it being on TV. I didn't realize that it's, you know, been off the air. So like this, bringing it back, having these new vibes is super exciting. Did you... What did you think about the show while you were filming it? Was it as absurd watching it as what, like, because I can't imagine actually being there. Like, it's one thing watching it on TV and being like, oh my God, is that person okay? It's another thing to witness it in real life.
No, it was honestly terrifying at times for me because I'm such an empathetic person. I always say there's two types of people in the world. There's like, say the three of us are walking together and Rhea trips and falls. You know, there's one of us will be laughing and one of us, me, will be like, oh my God, stop laughing, Francesca. Are you okay? Like, but that was me every time someone went down. I'm like, are they okay? Are you good? Like someone lost her wedding ring in there. No. And she got up the platform. She was like, finished the interview. And then she was like, I just lost my wedding ring in there. And I like just got married. And I was like, oh my gosh. Scuba guys, now, like, we cannot move on until they were like, Camille, we'll find it later. I'm like, no, we need to find it now. Like, I really care for all the contestants and I get to know their stories and, like, you know, go through the adventure with them. And if they win, they win $25,000. And it's really cool to know, like, some of these kids that are struggling or like can't, you know, are there to like prove a point with the obstacle, but win money for a great cause or for something that they've been like saving up for. So it's such a cool journey that I get to do, like being that person, tell their stories.
You can't be wearing your wedding ring in Wipeout. Like, it's called Wipeout. What if you wipe out? Was that not a question going into it? I know she's excited to be married, but like, you gotta, everything's off. Everything's off the table. Did you end up finding it?
They found it. And It was funny because we had to continue. They were like, Camille, we'll find it, but we have to continue the course to stay on schedule. And I was like, okay. And then like, you know, 7 interviews later, she came over and she was like, we found it. I just want to let you know, like, thank you for telling people to find it. Cause I would have just like laughed. And I was like, well, no, we needed that. So they found it, but we had to move on.
That's good. And you've done hosting before, but I feel like this has always been a dream of yours. You know, obviously you model and you act and you have all these things going for you, but I feel like you really, really love hosting.
I do. And that's the thing, like when people will say like, you know, actress, model, whatever, that's stuff that I've recently done. like very recently done in the last few years. And TV hosting is something that I started falling in love with in the seventh grade. Like we had this TV studio in our high school that was attached to our middle school. I would go in and do the morning news every day. Like instead of going to homeroom, I would go to the TV studio in the high school in seventh grade. And I would tell
you were one of those.
What the weather was for the day. And then, you know, little did I know that ended up becoming like a huge passion of mine and what I wanted to do career wise. But it's just so funny because that just wasn't the thing that took off the quickest. It was the thing that I've been doing since, you know, 12, 13, 14 years old, all the way up until now, just like constantly on the grind, whether it's internships or going to college for it, or, you know, filling in for morning shows or grabbing the mic for Maxim or for Sports Illustrated or Super Bowls. And it, because it wasn't on such a national, you know, level on the television, people didn't even know that I even did this before. So unless you're someone really close to me, no one knew that I've been doing hosting for, you know, what is it now? Like 10 plus, 12 plus years. So, for me, it's been a long time coming. This has been like top of the list dream job, like long-term goal. And so every time that I would get the call from the agency, like go out for the show, go out for this show. You know, it's really one of those things of like, trust the process. It'll come into alignment, right time, right place. And the show coming during the pandemic, getting to do my chemistry reads and all that stuff this summer. And then because the world is kind of on pause, only having to focus on doing that show for 2 months was, you know, it was amazing. I would not have been able to perform every day on that set if I had fashion week and travel for this shoot and do all this. Like I literally just had to hyper focus on the season, and it was, it was awesome. And it's a family show. I get to just be me. It was like, you know, a couple of lines here and there to toss it over to John Nicole. But other than that, I got to just react naturally. It was meant to be.
Yeah. Cool. That's perfect timing. I'm so happy for you because I feel like following you for so long now, I feel like I've seen what you said, like you're hosting the Super Bowls and just jumping around, and it seemed like that's what you are passionate about. So it's awesome to see. Can you say what other TV shows that you've auditioned for that have been hosting roles before Wipeout?
I've never been told like you can never talk about this, but I can say generally like there's reality TV shows that I've tried out for, and I was offered the job for one of them to host, and I was like, wait, I haven't been, you know, I didn't work this hard in this field to come out and be somebody that I'm not. Like I got the role because I went in and I auditioned for it, and I did it just to get more practice. I didn't know I was actually going to get it. And I just remember like constantly turning it down, and they would up the money. And I was like, whoa, I'm realizing that I'm doing this because I want a job that I like feel myself at every day. Like it's not, I'm the girl who's the shoulder to cry on. I don't want to like beef up someone's argument or why they're cheating or, you know, like I don't, that's not me. Yeah. I didn't stay silent for this long and turn down jobs to come out on this reality show, TV host. So, when the Wipeout one came, you know, with a lot of like turn downs of no's or then, being told yes, but it just not being the perfect fit. Like I saw Wipeout and I was like, I really want to get excited about this one, but like, you just never know. And so when I kept getting the callbacks, I was like, oh my gosh, I'm going to start journaling about this. You guys know me and my manifesting stuff. So I'm really happy this one came to fruition because it literally is so perfect. Like kids can watch it. My grandparents could watch it. My family could watch it, you know, and everyone, you literally could watch it and understand the English language and enjoy it. You know, it's a show for everyone. And, I'm really happy. And I feel like so many people have been like binge watching TV shows and movies and now we've got something fresh and new to the TV. So, but it's also something so many people are familiar with and have been waiting to come back. So I kind of like that familiarity with it so that people are like, yes, we love it.
Yeah. Yeah. Like I said, like I felt like it was something that I didn't even know, like was not on TV because it would be always something you would turn on to have a quick laugh. It's one of the purest forms of comedy. It is. It's like, you know, you can have all this sophistication and whatnot, but when somebody eats shit, it will never not be funny. It just won't. So I'm sure everyone's going to be really excited to watch you on it. And you said, you know, this is, you manifest, you're so good at this stuff. I always see you posting on your Instagram stories and things that you're, you know, you put it out in the universe, you make it happen. And one of the things that like stuck in my mind, I don't know why it has, but I was just like, wow, Camille, like I got to start doing this because it works for Camille because I think you had posted like a screenshot of of texts with, I don't know, somebody who you work with. And they were like, well, what are you doing like blank weekend? And this was months ago. And you were like, that's Super Bowl weekend. We're going to be in Tampa Bay. Yes. And I was like, oh my God, she did it again. Mm-hmm. She did it again. Like, she put it out there.
Every time. And I get like embarrassed. And I'm like, I shouldn't have shared that with them. And then I was like, no, but more power to the energy around that, surrounding it. But okay, this one's a little weird. And, you know, total credit to the team and the boys that do it, but
yeah.
I took over for Entertainment Tonight that weekend. I was on air and they were like, at first I kind of like rolled my eyes to it, like, why are you making me do this? Like, why are you making me put my predictions out there? And in my mind, like, I was like manifesting, like, I would talk to Rob. Rob's like tap, like, used to my weirdness. So he was like, I would talk to him and I was like, I should just keep these to myself because, like, what happens if he doesn't score? What happens if they don't win? And I was like, no, we're not putting that out there. And so I started telling him all of these things that I've been like thinking about for the team, thinking about for him, like putting this energy out towards him and stuff. And then I was so scared because I was like, if all of this doesn't happen, he's never going to believe me again. And then I was like, I just believe in it. Camille, put faith behind it. So I would tell him all this stuff. But then I was on Entertainment Tonight for Super Bowl weekend and they were like, hey, Camille, can you tell us your predictions for the game? And I was like, of course, I always have to be so truthful and like overspeak and like I can never shut the frick up. And I was like, okay, yeah, sure. And I was like, I'm predicting that Tom Brady's going to win his 7th Super Bowl ring and that Rob's going to get 2 touchdown passes from Brady at the Super Bowl. So I was like, hold on, run the tapes back. Rob got 2 freaking touchdowns and Brady got a 7th ring. So it was just cool because that's the stuff that I do all the time at home. And I was like, all right, I guess I'm going to say it on TV. So
that's unbelievable. And then how did Rob react after? Was he like, okay, I believe you now?
So he always does. He just wants me to shut up when I go like in public.
He's like, okay, Camille, we do that in the house. Let's keep like, that to ourselves.
Yeah, no, even when I speak it now, there's people are going to be like, Camille, you have nothing to do with that. Not saying I have anything to do with it. I'm just saying I felt it.
Listen, I feel you. That shit is all real. It all happens. I really believe in manifestation and like just believing that the universe is going to send it back to you somehow.
Yeah. I mean, you got to work for it. You got to work
hard.
Yeah.
You can't just be like, oh, this is just going to happen. Like, you got to like.
Yeah.
Like sit on your butt every day, like eating potato chips, looking at the cover of the magazine, be like, it's going to be me. It's going to be me.
Yeah.
You have to do something. But it's just like that next like added thing that just really like levels you up. Every day when I'm overwhelmed, I'm like, wait, I prayed for all these things. Like I journaled about all these things. I thought about all these things. Like I'm designing a swimsuit line. I'm hosting. I'm doing these Own It tours. I'm like modeling. I'm in a movie with Ryan Reynolds. I have no acting background. Who, why, how, like, you know, I'm hosting Wipeout, like all these things that I'm overwhelmed with. I'm like, this is everything I ever could want. And I was like, how did this all happen? So it's cool.
Yeah. I think the last time we talked to you, you were like very, it felt like maybe early stages of the swimsuit line. Cause I remember we were joking with you being like, make sure there's some bathing suit bottoms that like will cover your ass like from time to time. Like sometimes you want the cheeks out, sometimes you don't. But how has that been going? Like how has, when do you think we'll see that?
I'm making an announcement tomorrow. Also, the two of you, check your DMs after this because you're on my gifting list. So yes. I can't wait for you to wear the swimsuits. So I just need to know, do I send it to the office? Do I send it to your apartments? But no, as soon as I saw you guys, I was like, oh my gosh, I was just looking at your names and you guys are two people I have to get the address from. And I had said, because I'm having like my agency do the reach out. And I was like, oh, let me get them. I want to.
Oh, that's such a relief because I was going to say, like, if you want to maybe send some over.
Yeah, no, you guys are on there. It's actually at first I had you as Chicks in the Office and then I was like, wait, I mean, I guess I could send a package to Chicks in the Office, but I was like, I'm going to send one to Rhea and one to Fran. And then I was like, you have 2 different styles and like, it was really hard to try to figure out what I thought was going to be best for you guys because I could send out the line sheet and be like, pick, but it just takes so long.
We're going to see what you think fits, what you think that we would like.
But I think fits your personality and like what you'll like. Yeah.
Cater to us. I love that. That's going to be super excited. Thank you so much. I'm so excited. I mean, you are always rocking a great bikini, so I feel like these are going to be great. You are now back in SI swimsuit. Is this the 4th year?
It's so
That's so weird because the I think the first time we interviewed you was when you were like in the process of maybe finding out if you were getting picked when you went to like that big audition, which I was trying to do the math in my head today. I was like, there's no way it's 4 years. And then it is 4 years.
It is. It's confusing though, because I was literally a rookie in the 2019 issue. So technically it's like now I'm in the 2021 issue. This should be my, you know, my second year, but I was in the pages when I was in Swim Search in the top six. So even before my rookie year, I had shot once in Belize, and then I shot my rookie year in Australia. And then last year I shot in the Dominican, and this year I shot in Miami. And I was like, where did the time go? Like, I remember doing a happy dance during Swim Search on my way to Cheeks in the office. Like, I couldn't wait to go to Barstool. Like, this was my first time. Like, and sitting down at the table with you guys in the old office. And I'm like, what has happened since then? Like, so much has happened. So time has passed. It's crazy.
I know, guys, it is.
I just need to say, you guys have blown up. The people you interview, the fan base you have, like, you're full blown, like, have clothing line now, like, it constantly selling out and redo. Like, you guys just do it all, your partnerships, your podcasts, everything. It's just, it's amazing to watch you guys. And I'm always, every time that I see like Chicks in the Office, I'm like, I'm so glad they still take me on, because it's like, what else can we talk about? Because I come on so much.
Thank you so much. I feel like whenever we talk to each other, it's like we just like gas each other up. It's like a little back and forth of just pumping each other up. Yeah,
we have to.
I feel like if you were to like interview Beyonce tomorrow, she probably wouldn't be like, and I'm so proud of you guys how far you've come. So like, I'm going to be that person, because like, we're the homies. Like, we know each other. And you know, half the time it almost feels weird to come on here and promote stuff, because I just want to like shoot the shit with you guys and talk about nothing.
And that's why we love having you come on all the time, because we do, it's just like a check-in, because we started we started around that same time and things blew up for us. So it's so cool, because there are definitely like some people that we've had on the show who, you know, their name comes across on a talent list again, and we're like, that was great, but like, you know, we've had them on twice, we don't need them on a third time. Like, what, we're running out. Every time they're like, you guys want Camille back? We're like, yes.
We would never say no. It's like, why would we do that?
No.
Just for my, just for knowing you guys better, what year was it that you launched Chicks in the Office?
Technically 20, like the Instagram started in 2017.
Yeah.
Yeah, and that's when my career with SI started. Swim Search was in 2017. I was going to say, I think it's the same
time. Yeah, because that's exactly when we did radio too. Oh, or maybe that was 2018. But 2017 was when the Instagram started. Yeah, I remember that. But how was shooting SI this year? Because things were obviously different, right? You did it in Miami. Did most people go to Miami, or did they travel outside?
So yeah, we partnered with Hard Rock Hotels. So I did my I stayed at the Hard Rock Hollywood, and then we kind of drove from there to Miami South Beach, which is so funny because, you know, it's a public beach, so there's people like gathered around, and I'm like topless, and I'm like, oh my god, you guys, like, there's like paparazzi over there, there's like people and families right there.
Yeah,
you know, but anything for the shot, anything for SI. And no, it was really fun. You know, I was bummed to find out that we weren't going, you know, internationally, to find out like, are we going to Antarctica, are we going, where are we going, to Australia again? But I'm so happy that they didn't they made it a way to work and didn't take a hiatus off of launching the magazine. And so they did Hard Rock Tampa, Hard Rock Hollywood, Hard Rock, I think, like Sacramento. And it was cool. It was just a couple of places. And so this year they had like different themes, since we weren't going to be in different places like internationally. So it was cool. It was like the first time that I had a themed shoot and got to, you know, channel a little Sharon Tate, little like,
I love that. I saw the pictures. I was like, this is such a vibe for Camille, and the, what you had posted on your Instagram of like this head, like this scarf, the and scarf, the like, yeah, body.
Like, it was the first time I ever got to use like props and stuff. So I was like, yes.
Yeah, no, I loved it. It was really, really cool. And we can't wait to see the final product. As always, we love seeing the magazine and seeing you in it. It's so exciting. You also have just grown your family. You got a little pup.
Yes, I was like, wait, what?
April Fools. No, you have a dog. It is April Fools. So head on a swivel, Camille.
Yeah,
but he is so cute.
Doesn't he look like Stitch from Lilo and Stitch?
Oh my god, yes. Wow. He totally does. How did you guys decide that you were going to get a dog? I feel like you're both pretty busy. We're not even pretty. You're both very busy people. You know, traveling here, traveling there. What was the decision? How was it made?
So Rob and I had talked about a dog during quarantine. I mean, who didn't? Anyone who didn't have a dog was like, we're getting a dog. And a lot of people did. And then we were realistic that when the world would start to open up a little bit more, you could travel again, that we would be like, who's going to take the dog, you know? So we were like, okay, let's wait. And then we could not stop thinking about getting a dog. And Rob has such a love for French bulldogs. I mean, the last time it was, I think talking with you guys, I had someone else's Frenchie.
Someone else's Frenchie. Yes. Yes.
He's like a big dog. And so Rob just loves them. He grew up with pugs and his friend had a Frenchie. So he was like, I need one. They're snuggly, but they run. They're like the best of both worlds. And then Rob said, listen, you know, if I win the Super Bowl, I'm going to do it. Like I want to get a puppy. I want to get a Frenchie. And then he's a man of his word. He won. And then, you know, 2 weeks later, he surprised me with this little man.
Oh, he's like so chill.
Yeah, he is really chill.
He'll fall asleep sitting up in 1 second.
That's amazing. Honestly, that is the best case scenario. Norman was not like that when I first got him. Oh, he was just barking like crazy over Zoom. Like if I was holding him up like that, he would just go bananas.
Oh, no, he loves it. Like he's starting to fall asleep.
Aww, he's just like a little baby.
So cute.
Ripping him.
Aww.
He is adorable. So go ahead, Rhea.
No, you guys both just froze on my screen.
Oh.
Noah's
again. Oh, well, if unfortunately we have to wrap up anyway, we're getting the signal because some people, Kevin and Feidelberg, held you a little bit longer than they were supposed to.
So they screwed us out of time? Yep.
They screwed us out of time, which is, well, we'll take that up with them. But Camille, thank you so much for jumping on and talking to us. Hopefully we see you soon. It's like really ridiculous. I feel like normally we at least get to see each other once a year. And
I actually was just in the city really quick, like yesterday and the day before that. But I was like for work stuff, but I'll be back for sure.
Because next time you have some free time, you know, hit us up. Yeah. Give us a call.
That would be so fun.
We're available.
Be off cameras and just chill and eat food.
Exactly. Definitely. Exactly. So everyone can tune in to Wipeout. It's on TBS. We're recording on its premiere day. You guys are all listening to this on Friday, so you can catch up on last night's episode. Check out the premiere. It'll be on TBS, and you can check out Camille doing her field host thing. She's going to crush it. We're so excited to watch. Thanks, Camille.
Yeah, thanks, guys.
Bye. Thank you. All right, that wraps up today's episode of Chicks in the Office. When you hear from us on Monday, Fran will be released from her COVID quarantine, which will be so exciting. She'll be free. She's feeling better, no longer long-winded, hopefully, and out of breath. We're crossing our fingers for that, everybody. But we hope you have a great weekend, and we'll talk to you on Monday. Love you guys. Stay safe. Bye.
1, 2, 3, 4, tell me that you love me more. Sleepless long nights, that's what my youth was for. Oh, teenage hopes are right at your door. Left you with nothing, but they want some more. Oh, 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 you're changing your heart. Oh, 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 you know who you are. Sweetheart, bitter heart, now I can't tell you apart. Cozy and cold, put the horse before the cart.